So tonight I just wanted to talk a little bit about the outworking of what we talked about last week, which was being crucified with Christ. I no longer live, now Christ lives in me. It's the verse we've been thinking about for a long, long time. It's the centre of the gospel. It's how we become a Christian. You don't become a Christian by giving your heart to Jesus. You can become a Christian by losing your old life and choosing to join in with his new life, the resurrection life. That's what becoming a Christian is. You exchange your old life for his life. And yet so often as Christians, we do pick up our old life again and we try and sort it out, try and make it better, try and improve it. And God says, no, that's not what I've done. I've got rid of the old life so you can walk in the new life. Just lay hold of my new life. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. That's the first bit. To actually come to the place where you can lay down all your old stuff. If you haven't got there yet, then you can't go on to the second bit. Well, you can, but you'll be all sorts of tensions and things. Let it go. Give it to God. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. It's my promise. It's there for you. Just you come and the rest is there. Very deep rest. Very real rest for your labours. Now the next bit is then, okay, now take hold. Take hold of my yoke. Spend the rest of your life serving me in newness of life, resurrection life. And see my presence in your life and through your life. And so there's so much going on in Christendom where we can get caught up in trying to improve the old life, which of course isn't it. So anyway, we looked at that last week, and I want to look at three examples. I've just jotted this down, and we'll look at them. We'll see where it takes us, really. But three practical examples. What I mean, I think one of you said to me, well, what does this mean? What do I actually do? What do I do to lay hold of it? I don't know how to use this. I get the theory, but what is it? How do we make this work in our life? And so that's what I'm thinking about this evening. How we actually, because God has said to us, be free. He's commanded us to walk free. Has he not?
Yes.
I mean, he has. He said it long time ago in the Bible, but he's particularly said it to us recently, be free. And sometimes it's a wrestling to get free, isn't it? It is. We can wrestle at many layers, many different seasons, and we wrestle to stay free. You will not walk in freedom all your life unless you are intent on walking free. I was reading an interesting book the other day by a psychiatrist, not even a Christian psychiatrist. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it, reading psychiatrist, but this guy was interesting. I sometimes do dip in. He was interesting, and he basically said, you know, many people are trapped in traps of their own making. And the big challenge is life. Are you going to step out of your, this is not about circumstances or people. This is about you and how you see the world and how you cope. Big question. Are you going to decide to be happy in your life? Because that's the thing that binds many, many people. They haven't got the courage to actually reach out and say, I'm going to get happy and stay happy. Make the decision to be happy. Well, I thought, well, you know, there is something in that, but I'm sure there is. But also psychologically, but for us, it's the same for freedom. Jesus has set us free. Amen?
Amen.
But you've got to work at it to stay in that freedom. I mean, you have. We've got to intentionally go for it and choose to live free. And it's hard work. Just look at your neighbour and say, it's hard work, this. It is. But the fruit is freedom, fruitfulness. The fruit is you come through those things and come out the other side into a spacious place and see God using you in ever-increasing ways. And you might have lots of trouble and strife and this and that and the other, but at least you stay free. Yes, you do, if you do it right. Because he has already set you free. You've just got to stay in it. Sustain it. It's not like you've got to get something you haven't already got. You've got it. Just choose to live in it. It's a courageous decision to choose to live as a free Christian. What a tragedy if we spend most of our life in some sort of prison of our own making. Our own making. No one else's. It's never anyone else's fault if we're in a prison. It's our own. It's our own attitude to the circumstances, to whatever it is, the relationship. It's our. And God isn't saying run away from it. He's saying get free in it. Because it is for freedom, I set you free. So freedom, we've learned, is what he's commanding us to do. And freedom, it only comes one way. By? By faith. That's what he said to us. By faith. Okay? Well, you can only stay free if you believe that you're free. To believe that you're free, you're going to have faith. I'm not talking about whether we feel like it will wake up in the morning. Because that's how I feel. I've got to, these seasons I'm in, I've got to shake myself. And I'm not always very good at it. I've been through lots of seasons of my Christian life, and no doubt you have too. And for me at the moment, it's a bit of a struggle sometimes to do that. But it's a decision we have to make. We have to choose to wrestle. We never ever get to the place where, now I've cracked it. I've been a Christian 12 years. I've been through the Way of the Spirit twice. I've done the part-time course. Going to do the advance. I'm now qualified to be free. Sorry, you're going to have to keep working at freedom your whole life. Now, you can learn fundamental principles that basically gives you a sound way of getting fundamentally free, but then there are always going to be things you're going to have to get on top of to stay free. To stay free. Stay free. And that's faith. So faith is always comes by hearing God. Faith comes by hearing him, by the word. We've always got to look to Jesus. We cannot look inward. Doesn't work. Oh, let me try and work out. I'm going to free. What do I feel like this when I do this, and I feel like that, and that person does this, and this one. Oh, it's getting complicated. Like, oh, I don't feel even worse than when I started thinking about it. The way we get free is to look outside ourselves to Christ, who is free and who has set us free. And who speaks his word. And the word he speaks creates faith. And if we choose to believe it, because we don't have to, we can be like the ones we heard about this morning. We can go and let it be snatched out of our heart because we haven't got a heart to hear it. But if we choose to hear it, and that's a decision we have to make, do you want to get well? I choose to hear what God is saying, and now I choose to act upon it. I don't choose just to talk about it, think about it, journal about it. I choose to do it because I'm committed to being free. That means I'm committed to living a life of faith. And no one can make those decisions for us. You know, people can try and muddle us along and drag us along or lead us along, but it's always up to the individual to make that decision for their own life. Am I going to choose to offer? Or am I going to settle for a second-rate sort of religious system, which I'll be part of and get the occasional bit here, occasional bit there. Go on mission here. Have this little highlight here. Or am I going to choose to live free? Am I going to get free of all the self-imposed stuff that's around me? Because it is only you. It's between you and God. And me and God. So I sat and thought, well, Lord, how can I get practical with this? Because to me, this is bread and butter. Because X years ago, I was taken through this. And I'm scratching my head now thinking, how was I taken through this? How did I end up getting hold of this stuff and making it work in my life? Got to keep doing it. But how did I do that, Lord? What was it they did to take me through? I was trying to remember. Like, it's not a system. It's not a system. It's not a particular knack. You know, it's. I don't know what it is exactly. But so I thought, well, I won't bother trying to remember how anyone else did it. Lord, give me three examples. And so I've sort of got three examples, and I don't know where they're going to go. But they're not necessarily in order of importance. In fact, the first one is probably the least. But anyway, the first one that came to mind was in preaching and ministry, just as an example of how it works. Preaching and ministering. I've told you last week, and I've told you umpteen times before, and other people have told it to you too. And then you always get the exception that breaks the rule. But God so often picks the person who doesn't want to get up and stand at the front and do anything. And he says, you lead, you preach, you teach. You go, oh, I don't want to do it, Lord. And so for me, the very beginning of getting up and preaching and ministering was, oh, such a challenge. I was terrified at the prospect, to be quite frank. But I was full of faith at the time, because God had spoken and met me and encountered me, and I'd said, yes, God. So I was filling up with faith and strength, but my flesh was terrified. I didn't want to do this. Cold sweats. Fear. What of? What do we fear when we're in that sort of situation? What do you think? Fear. But what is it? What can man do to you? Failure, I think, is one. Big one. Fear of failure. All linked to performance and shoulds and oughts and all those things, which we've hopefully banished by now, though one did creep in this morning. I didn't say anything. For grace. But I think failure is a big one. We're afraid of, for me, I think it's humiliation. I'm afraid of being humiliated. I think, deep down, it's hard to sort of identify these things, and they're sort of primeval fears, aren't they? That we all carry, we all identify with these, because we're all people, aren't we? I think we are. Are you a person? Matt? But it's great to have Matt here, by the way, isn't it? Tonight? Yeah, fantastic, well done. Brilliant. We're with you, Matt, as you adjust into your new lifestyle. We've been praying, and we continue to pray for your new family and all that's going on there. So I think it is, fear of failure is one of them. Just afraid of somehow I'm not going to be up to it. Somehow I'm just not going to make the grade. Everyone else will do it well, and I'll be fluffing my lines and wishing the ground would open up in front of me. I think that's it. The way to beat that one, of course, is just to go for it. Just to go for it. Right! Just go. But it's there. The fear is real. And the other one is rejection, I think. I think we genuinely can't stand the thought of being rejected. I think that's a really deep, deep thing. We don't want to be sidelined and pushed to the side and left out. Because we all probably have experiences of that at school one way or another. Or maybe we did the leaving out. But it's like when you used to line up and get picked to be in the football team, and you were the last one, which I often was in the football team. I was a bit nearer the top in the cricket team, but the football team, I was pretty much near the last, Who's going to have Georgie? You sit there thinking, oh, goodness, what am I doing here, Fear of rejection. These things stir great things in our memories, because we put on a brave face and we learn to get on anyway and survive, but deep down there are these things going on in our hearts they're going on, and we need to learn how to deal with them, but they're there, they're real enough sometimes, and they rear their head. So terrified of the prospect, cold sweats. I have told you, haven't I? I was the best man about three times. The first time I was the best man, I went up to Yorkshire a week in advance to have a bit of a break, and I spent every day panicking at the thought of having to stand up at the end of the week and say something at the wedding. I went into a cold sweat. So I just deliberately tried not to think about it. But every time I thought about it, oh, how many days to go? I've got to do that. What am I going to say? So that's how it was for me. Two powerful emotions. So what does it mean to say, I'm crucified with Christ, I no longer live Christ? Can we just banish these things, say they no longer exist? No one's sure. No one's committing themselves. Well, I absolutely know. This and any other situation which involves these sort of things, any situation at all, we think, well, it's all right for you. You don't feel what I feel. God doesn't just want us to get over these deep feelings. He doesn't just want us to do it and survive. Phew, that worked. I got away with that. I got away with that. They didn't realize who I really am deep down. I put on a good act for them. Till next time. He doesn't want us just to do that. He wants to come into us and through us and out of us to whoever it is we're ministering to bring about his revival life, his miracles, his signs, his wonders, his power, and transformative presence of his spirit. And he can do that totally regardless of who we are, because it's not depending on who we are. I mean, that's it. I mean, that when it's God, that's what happens. Something happens every time. He doesn't want you just to weasel off. Yeah, so I hope it doesn't pick me next time. You know, no, he wants you to walk off with head held high, victory. Is the fear gone? No, if I look around for it, dig around for it, it'll be there. But praise God, I put my faith in him, and he did what he said he would do. Hallelujah. So it's not just some sort of little verse we trot off to try and make us feel better. I think, well, it's okay for everyone else, but it doesn't work for me. It's the reality. You see, if we can engage with the reality, no one's saying the feelings disappear completely and you never have them again if you believe this verse. You stupid person, don't you believe? They're saying, this is the reality. Paul's saying, this is the reality. Now line up your thinking with the reality of what's already happened on the cross. Join him with it. Get out of the way and let God come and do what he wants to do. It's not you doing it. It's God doing it through you. By his anointing. If you think it's a little bit of me and a lot of God, you're not going to get there, because a little bit of you could be petrified and taint the whole thing. But as soon as you get the revelation, hang on, this is none of me, then you give him a clean piece of paper to come and do whatever he wants to do through you. And it works. Just say to the person next to you, it works. It works. And it's probably the biggest challenge or biggest stumbling block all people have. Especially, I mean, even in Christian ministry, they think they've got to come forward and do it. So they've got to work out what to do. Then they've got to think, can I do this? You know, what can I think up to say? What can I do? And it's just like you're on a different planet. The self-effort planet disappeared with the cross. In fact, I can see it. It's still travelling away from us. I can see it. It's up there. It's a tiny. It's say bye bye planet. Bye bye planet. It's gone. It's finished. Never get back on that planet. A new planet came, called the Resurrection Life Planet. And all you got to do is get out of your module, step out of your module onto it. Have you got the courage to do that, or are you going to stay with your own? I'm better here where I. I'll just fail and feel, I'm used so familiar with failing. I'll just stay in my fear, stay in my little capsule, and then just feel it's all right for everyone else, but not for me. And it's all for me. I'm wrong. Me. Or are you going to step out of your capsule onto the new planet? Where on earth did I get these from? Anyway. Thank you, Lord. The Resurrection Life Planet. And are you going to actually take that little step for man, but the big step for mankind? So, how can we use Galatians 2:20? Well, we can simply choose to believe it. We can't change our feelings, but we can choose that it's true. So, Lord, I'm getting more and more nervous as the time goes by. I'm on in a couple of minutes, and I don't know what I'm going to do. Because even now, everything I've planned to say has gone out of my head, Lord. I don't even know where it is. I don't even know how I'm going to start now. You have been crucified with Christ. You, Richard, no longer live. So just stay out of the way. Christ now lives in you. And the life you live by faith. The only way you're going to do anything is by faith. Not any other way. But when you engage your faith, I can do anything with your life. With your ministry. But you've got to get out of the way. And you've got to stay out of the way. Stop telling me you know how to do this or know how to do that or you've got this to bring. Forget it. You've been crucified. That's all on that planet and it's going. All your certificates and diplomas and experiences, they're all on that planet and they're all going. Say bye-bye. Bye bye. They're gone. They've gone. They've gone. Now I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. All those are dead. They're going to the grave. Now Christ lives in me. So by faith, Lord, though I feel like whatever, it doesn't matter what you feel. I may feel like, you know, running a million miles for whatever reason. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. I choose to believe that. I choose to believe it. And the way I'm expressing my belief in that, my faith, is I'm speaking it out. I'm choosing to focus on that, even though the rest of me is, I'm choosing to focus on that. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Lord, my faith is in you, not in me. And I'm sorry, Lord, it's taken me so long to really live in the reality of the fact that it's not me, because that's probably my pride, just wanting to do it. I want to be good at ministry. I want to be a great preacher. I want to change the world and see revival. Well, sorry, it's not going to work like that. It doesn't work like that. Ever. The only way you're going to see anything revived is by getting out of the way. Because I promise you, you cannot revive a fly with a broken leg. You can't. You can't. You can't do anything. So it's very practical. Okay, Lord, I choose to believe that what you said is true. Listen, this is really subtle, but we've got to get it. You haven't got to kill yourself. Stop trying to kill yourself. Stop trying to kill your flesh. It's already dead. It died 2,000 years ago. If you start trying to kill your flesh, you'll get all sorts of problems. You'll end up looking inwards again. No, simply reckon yourself dead. I choose to believe that I have already been crucified with Christ 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah, that's the truth. I'm declaring it to my fear, to the demons who are trying to keep me in fear, trapped into my own little world of me, 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 me. And I speak it out to everyone else too. The life I now live, I live by faith. Didn't say faith and something else. It says faith. Of course, if there's a bit of us that wants to be that wonderful preacher or wonderful minister or pastor or something, then we'll be trying hard to make that happen and we'll be afraid of failing at it. We'll be afraid of people rejecting us if we're not that pastor or person that we want to be. But if we choose to line up with the bit of us as crucified, then into the grave with us go our fears of rejection and fears of failure. And we can walk free. Any one of us can choose to walk free of whatever self-imposed prison you've had in your life since you were this high. You can walk free of it. Doesn't matter, I don't care what your experience. I could tell you some experiences. I could tell you some stuff I've been through. I could make you sympathetic towards it. I could make you, you know. It doesn't matter. It's all dead. It's gone. And when it tries to rear itself up, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Now Christ lives in me. This is the confession of faith for those who want to live in the crucified, overcoming, victorious Christian life. It's not for anyone who doesn't want that. If you want some other form of Christian life, sorry, Soul Church, I hear, is pretty good. Might suit you better. But if you want to learn about and be trained in and walk in the overcoming, crucified, victorious Christian life, then you're going to have to learn to reach out for it and intentionally go for it. Because there's no way you're going to get there without doing that. I mean, you're saved. I'm not saying you're not saved. But if you want to live in victory, you want to live free, stay free, then you're going to have to go for it. You're going to have to intentionally go for it. What are feelings anyway? They're chemical reactions that go on in our body. You know, fight and flight and all that. You know, something happens, it reminds us of something that happened when we were 3 and a half, and then all the emotions go, run away from this, run away from this, run away from this. Or fight, 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 fight. You've heard fight or flight, yeah. You know, yeah. Fight or flight. The body produces the chemicals required for us to either fight or run away fast from the lion or bear or scary thing. So that produces all the emotions that creates the momentum to get free of that stuff, but it's not the sort of freedom we want. So the feelings produced are just chemical reactions to past events through reactions and anxieties and all that stuff. All of which will stifle the word of God, the work of God, in and through our lives. If we allow that stuff in our garden, if we refuse to pull it up, or we leave a big gaping hole in the fence, or we sow the wrong thing, then that's what we'll have in our garden. Lots of strife and anxiety and fear, and you can buy little seeds. Have you seen it? Not cut. It says anxiety. You can buy a seed. Anxiety. You just sow the seeds. Yeah. Fear. A fear tree. You can buy a fear tree. And you can plant it in the garden. Yeah, you can tend it. You can tend your fear tree. And one day it will bear fruit. Much fruit. You can water it. You can guard it. Yes. It's up to you what you put in your garden. Freedom comes from faith. It's always active, never passive. It's an active thing. Find out what God is saying to be lifted above the chemical reactions and all the other stuff. I can do all things in Christ. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but love and power and sound mind. All these words we can go to find our courage, another word for faith, our courage to get out of the capsule, onto the resurrection life planet, freedom planet. The kingdom of God is not a matter of words. You see, it's not a matter of words. And we're moving into a season where, as we go out in teams, and as Mengi noticed, there's a bit of downtime now for a week or two. Then it starts getting busy with missions going out here, there, and all over the place. And hopefully we'll get you, anyone who wants to go on a mission, get you out on a mission somewhere. And schools, advanced. By the way, if you haven't done the advanced or you want to do the advanced again, get signed up, come along. It's great. You'll be transformed forever. Down at Belsey Bridge, March and June, isn't it, I think? So lots of things happening, coming up. And I can't remember what I was saying about that. Anyway, so when we get out of the way, he can do whatever he chooses. There are no limits. We can take revival around the country. We can take revival around the world because it's not us whipping ourselves up into some super holy, super spiritual state. It's simply aligning ourselves with the truth and reality of what has already happened. Long time ago. The cross and Pentecost. That's all you need to know to preach. You can go and do a weekend on the cross and Pentecost. Go and do 2 weeks in Africa. 4 weeks in Uganda in August. The cross and Pentecost. That's all you need to do. But not just teaching. We're banning just teaching from now onwards. Okay? We've been playing at it up to now. Because now when we teach, we're going to be expecting an impartation. So if you're preaching about faith, God's going to impart faith to those who want it. You know, to those hearts. He's going to be moving to do something in our lives. So when we teach in future, we never just say words. There's always power coming afterwards. The freedom of the Spirit to minister to us. We're going to learn. And I'm very happy to, as far as I'm able to, as far as whatever I've learned over the years, I'm very happy to spend time teaching, training, explaining what it means to impart life. Impart peace, joy, the camel anointing. Whatever it is. You see, whenever God speaks, he doesn't just want to, you know, reference it in our word. He wants to impart it. He wants us to know the reality of it. He doesn't want us to know about peace. He wants us to experience his peace. Paul says, grace and peace to you. He means it. He means have grace and peace deep in your being to push all the anxiety and stuff out. Don't ever pretend you haven't got any. Don't ever pretend, oh, I haven't got any of that stuff. I'm free of all that stuff. Well, you might be walking free, praise God. But if you look hard enough into your flesh, you'll find all sorts of stuff, I promise you. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't look. But it's there in all of us. When we get out of the way, God can do whatever he chooses. Because it's a blank sheet of paper to him. He's not worried about who we are. It's through us. There are no limits. See yourself on the cross with Jesus. See, in the early days, when you know what it's like, when you start learning a new thing, a new idea in your life, and you start establishing it, it's hard work. In the gym, or whatever, the golf stroke, or whatever. It's hard work. Will I ever master this? But then you keep going, one day you find, oh yeah, I'm doing it. Don't even think about it. Yeah, picture yourself on the cross. Thank you, Lord. Crucified with Christ. That's it. That's all I need to do. I'm there. First time I did that, it was a month of fasting and praying to break through to that place. Now I've established it in my life. It's become something that I live in the good of. Yeah? Don't just sit there and think, I don't understand what he's saying. I don't believe it. Get hold of it and make it real in your life. And any one of us can do that. It's not, we haven't got a rank, you know, a ranking system. Anyone can come to Jesus as a child with a humble heart and say, Lord, I want this. I want to live. I want to spend my life living in this, living in the good of this. I want to live the crucified resurrection life. I want to live on planet freedom. Because I want to minister freedom to others. I want to see others walking through. That's why it's such a joy, this person I mentioned earlier, such a joy to see someone, when you help them and you pray for them and you preach them over years, and then they get stuck and you do what you can, but you just have to leave them really and pray and hope, trust God is bringing them through. Then they come through and you say, yes, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Broccoli spit. Anyone who keeps going through the cross. Resurrection life is only through the cross. You won't get resurrection life anywhere else. In fact, this module is shaped like a cross on planet freedom. Because I know you're all thinking about planet freedom. The module is shaped like a cross. Because the only way to get there is through the cross.
New short course coming.
Yes! So, see yourself on the cross. See all the fear and anxiety on the cross. All those neuroses. All those things that happen to you. Just see them on the cross. Crucified with Christ. That's the heart of the gospel. And step forwards into the God thing by faith. See, don't just stay there. Don't just stay at the place where, oh, it's on the cross. Phew, got my rest. That's the coming to me, all you who were in, I'll give you rest. Now comes the good bit. Now comes the victorious bit, the fruit-bearing bit. Now take hold of the yoke I've given to you. Now take advantage. He's brought you through to the freedom, not just so you can experience freedom, but so that you can now get hold of the yoke he's given to you and run with it. And step forward into the God thing by faith. Pray in tongues, cry out, worship him, but do not shrink back ever. Do whatever you need to do. But never, ever, ever shrink back. Never. Just say never.
Never.
No, you don't say it enough force. Say it really forcefully.
Never. Never.
Better. 1, 2, 3.
Never.
Never shrink back. Just turn to your neighbor and say, never, ever, 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 ever shrink back. Right, always accept the faith challenge. You accept the faith challenge and go for it. Never say, well, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll see how this one works out. Or I haven't got time. take the faith challenge and step into the thing God's putting in front of you. The best way to stay free is to keep moving forwards. That keeps you free. The wind on your face as you keep moving forward. The wind, you hit some funny things along the way, but you're going to hit those anyway. You may as well hit the funny things that come from following Jesus. Never shrink back. Don't ever pretend the feelings don't exist, but move forwards in faith anyway. Feel the fear and do it anyway. Keep moving forwards, because that's what Jesus did. He kept moving forwards, no matter what was happening. He kept going. He kept moving forwards, walking to Jerusalem, kept going into Gethsemane, kept crying out to God when he had to. Up, thank you, Lord, move forward, carry the cross. Keep moving forward. Father, forgive me. It's finished. I'm coming. The Son of Man coming on the clouds. Hallelujah. And he poured out the Holy Spirit so we could walk the same way. So the second one I wrote down, I don't know where these came from really, except, you know, obviously, but number two. So the first one was ministry and ministering, preaching and so. How to walk in faith with these things. To continue following Christ when we feel beaten up, worn out, fed up, and are doubting our own faith. No one here has ever been in that place, I'm sure. Except all of us have, if we're honest. How to keep walking in faith when we feel beaten up, worn out, fed up, and doubting even our own faith. Because we all get to times like that. The devil wants us to feel like that all the time, of course. We have to learn to resist his temptations to fall into that way of thinking. But sometimes we just arrive in that place where this is what we're feeling. And we've got choice. We can stay there and wallow. Or we can sort of, if these are the circle around here, and this is where I'm feeling beaten up, worn out, blah, blah, blah. We can stay here, woe is me, and stay there. Or we can stand back and sort of look at ourselves and say, oh, that's where I'm at the moment. But I'm not staying there. I'm choosing to walk in faith. I have been crucified with Christ. All that stuff, all the feeling worn out, all the fed upness, all the depression, all the stuff has all been crucified with Christ. It all went with him. All tiredness, all sickness, all downness. And so we have to step out of it and say, right, that's what it is. I recognize that. Oh, it's real enough, but I recognize it and I'm not staying there. I'm continuing to walk forwards and I'm trusting God to bring me through this into a new place of vitality and strength in the Spirit and anointing and fruitfulness. I mean, there's a trap here, isn't there? I mean, if you haven't read Pilgrim's Progress, do read Pilgrim's Progress. You know, the traps of all the different people who come up and stop. But there's a trap here, and there's a trap if we get, you know, if we're feeling worn out and beaten up, there's a trap we can just sink into our own worn outness and be, oh, I feel so worn out and beaten up. And that's the time where you need your faith. That's the time when you most need your faith. Because Jesus didn't say, I'll follow me, you know, I'll lead you. But if ever you get worn out and beaten up, just sidestep and drop out. He said, I'll lead you right to the end, right through the last finishing line. I'll lead you all the way. Keep following me. Come, follow me. Doesn't matter what you, just follow, just follow. I'll sort all that out. Just follow me. Come through. Keep going. Don't shrink back. So it's really helpful to be able to stand back and look at ourselves and see, well, that's what I'm in. Now I can objectify it and I can take a faith stance with it. I do feel like that, but I'm not staying there. Lord, thank you. You fill me with your Holy Spirit. You're my life. You promised to lead me. You're the author and perfecter of my faith. You're the Alpha and the Omega. And Jesus, I trust you to bring me right through whatever this is I'm going through, which I don't understand and can't identify. And I choose to walk with you. And I'm keeping going no matter what. So there, devil, boom. Thank you, Lord. I have been crucified with Christ, which means all this stuff also has been crucified with Christ.
I continue to put my faith in you. I have been crucified with Christ. Hallelujah. I no longer live, so all this stuff is down in the grave. Christ is now in me, lives in me. And the life I now live by faith. So I'm choosing to trust. Doesn't matter what I feel. I'm choosing to trust. I'm not denying my feelings. I'm not being stupid. I'm not saying feelings don't matter. I'm not saying our emotions aren't important. God created our emotions. He created our souls. I mean, I wouldn't fancy living this life without emotions. We do. Goodness me. I mean, you know, I don't like the downs terribly much, but I do like the ups. And you can't have the ups without having the downs. Think about it. Unless you know what sadness is, you won't be able to appreciate what joy is when it comes. So it's being alive. So our emotions go up and down. Okay, they go up and down. And they're indicators of things, so we've got to pay attention, etc., etc. But we can still stand back and say, well, I'm not going to wallow in my depression or my worn outness or my self-pity or my victim mentality or my pointing the finger at everyone else because it's their fault. I'm not gonna do that. I choose to carry on walking by faith. God is bigger than my depression. Amen. Catherine knows that. So to keep believing and moving forwards when we're sorely tempted to give up. That's the last point at which you should ever give up. Never, ever shrink back or give anything up when you're feeling like that. I mean, you know, if you're going to change course and you really believe God's telling you to, make sure you're on a high in your current situation. Make sure you're on a high to make that decision. Never make that decision when you're feeling like that. Never, ever, ever. Because that's what the enemy does. He wears us, as Daniel talks about wearing out the saints. He tries to wear out the saints. If he can't get you with one big temptation, 11 o'clock tonight when you turn on the telly or something, well, he'll get you with little things that just wear you out. Yeah. Begin to wear you out after time. After days, weeks, months, years, decades even, these little things, they're only small, but they're just wearing you out. They do their job. One Kings 19. Elijah. He's just been on Mount Carmel. He's just battled with hundreds of Baal priests and beaten them hollow. He sat there in his place of faith while they danced around and nothing happened. And then he called out to God and God came and just sent the fire. Wonderful victory. He then ran after them and killed them all with his sword. How he did that, I'm not sure. I think others helped him. And then he came down. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he'd killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a message to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me ever so severely if by this time tomorrow I don't make your life like one of them. Elijah was afraid. What? What? Elijah? He's just killed hundreds of prophets, believed God for the fire to fall, had his life on the line, and now Jezebel sends a message to him, and he's immediately in fear. That's what could happen. Don't think anybody's above being put in a place of fear. I'm engaged in a great project, and I'm not coming down. But she sent a message. And he immediately fell into fear. And it seems to be some sort of depression he then enters into. He ran for his life. See, that's what you do when you're afraid. You run for your life. When you're in faith, you run towards God. When you're afraid, you run for your life. To protect. It's protected, self-protected. Shrinking back is always for self-protection. Never an act of faith to shrink back. Never, never, never. It's an act of self-protection. A
And he came to Beersheba, where he left his servant there, while he himself was on a day's journey into the wilderness. Oh, he's going into the wilderness now. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. Sounds a bit like Jonah, doesn't he, with the plant, the coat. And prayed that he might die. What's going on? This guy, 10 minutes ago, was beating up all the Baal prophets. And now he's praying. He's sunk into a depression. He's listened to the voice of Jezebel. And he's sunk into a depression. I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. And he lay down and fell asleep. Oh, all at once, an angel, just like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, an angel touched him. Said, get up and eat. Right? Angels don't mess around. They'll tell you what to do. Get up and eat. Look after yourself, Elijah. The way out of this depression, first of all, is take sustenance to your body. He looked around, and there by his head was some baked bread and hot coals and a jar of water. God will always provide what you need. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time, touched him and said, get up, Elijah, and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights. Goodness. I presume he ate something else along the way. But anyway, it gave him the strength to get up. I mean, sometimes you just need something to get you going. Get you off the starting blocks. And he was duly strengthened. And then he reached Horeb, mountain of God. Went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came, what are you doing there? I've been very zealous, the Lord Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, tore down your altars and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. See, when we're depressed, we hear things and make much of them, but they're not true. Because we later find out he's not alone at all. There's lots of prophets left. We hear things, don't we, when we're depressed. You've got to be careful what the voices you listen to. When you're down in the dumps, you've got to be careful what you listen to. Who you listen to, how you listen to it. You've got to watch your body. You've got to eat properly, healthily. You've got to rest. All these things are common sense when we're down in the dumps, you know, when you're depressed in some way. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain. And then he passed by him, etc. And then in 13, a voice said, what are you doing here, Elijah? I've been very zealous. And he repeats what he said. And the Lord said, what's he say next? He says, go. Right, you've done what you need to. You've rested, you've eaten, now go. That's the next thing you need to do. Go back the way you came, oh dear. And like snakes and ladders. And go to the desert of Damascus where you get there. Anoint. I've got some work for you to do, Elijah. I've put an anointing on your life and I expect some fruit from it. Go and do this. Get your attention off yourself and go and do the work that I put before you. This is your way to healing. And of course he goes and goes, well, we're not going to linger anymore on Elijah. But he was overcome with depression, paid attention to his physical needs, allowed an angel to strengthen him, and he recovered. Whilst he was depressed, he had negative, misleading thoughts. I'm alone, but he wasn't. When we're run down, we think the worse. When we're low, we see deceptively. We can end up with mindsets that start seeing deceptively. We can start seeing faults in other people, start seeing critically of other people. When you start thinking critically of someone, you stop being able to receive from them. And the enemy can put stuff into us, you know, and then we, I've seen it happen, and you start latching on to everything the person does wrong or says that's wrong or could be misinterpreted or could be made into some sort of complaint or negative thing. And that's all we end up seeing. And so often these things begin when we're just a bit low. We're not in the right place with God and we're tired and worn out, whatever. Judas was focused on money, and so he didn't see anything in Jesus. He had his focus on money, so he didn't see what everyone else saw in Jesus. He just saw connected with money. You know, what can I make out of this? And sometimes we need ministry. You see, we need to be ministered to. We need someone to come and lay hands on us and impart peace and life and joy and encouragement. You know, and it's great that we do that a lot here, speaking to each other. But I want us to get used to this, start beginning to impart it. Not just praying, but imparting it to each other. Imparting it. I got a word from the Lord for you, and I'm going to impart the life of it to you. So this is the word. Right now, receive. Shut your eyes. I'm just going to put my hand on your head again, and I want you to receive it. Get into receiving mode. And then just receive the impartation of God's life. So he says to Arjuna, go, now go. Don't stay in the place of self-pity, looking inwards. Don't wallow in that. Go. Stay in the place of faith, and you will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The third one, so the second is, first was preaching, ministry, doing something, performance or related. Secondly, to continue following Christ when we feel beaten up, worn out, fed up, and doubting our own faith. And thirdly, not to fall into self-hate when we get it wrong. Mess it up. Fail. Now, I know that doesn't, you know, no one in this room has ever done any of that. Mm-hmm. Have we? No. Well, I have a list as long as my arm. Getting things wrong? Messing up? Failing? Of course we do. It's not our expectation. And we know that when we get into line with Christ, he'll lead us in triumphant procession. So our faith is not, doesn't affect our faith as what Christ can do in and through us as we seek to follow him and get into step with him. But as we look back over our lives, well, put your hands up if you had at least one major getting it wrong in your life. At least one major. Oh, everyone. Right. At least one, another mess up. You messed up. It wasn't anyone else's fault. You blew it, messed up. Yeah? Maggie, high up. Hi. You're high. Go on, right up here. Yeah, go on. That's it, thank you. Right, thirdly, failure. You've had a failure in your life. You just failed. Hedley had to think quite a bit about that. But. Right. We've failed, haven't we? I'm putting two up. Major failures. If I look back and think about it too much, it would create quite a lot of discomfort as I would think about them. Could create shame, a feeling of shame. Could do. If I dwelt on it, I'm not going to. There are a few biblical characters, aren't there, who have failed. Peter, the great leader who was going to always get it all right. I'll always support you, Jesus. I'll never leave you. In the first moment of stress, boom, he's off. And Jesus, it says in Luke, Jesus turned, and after his third denial, Jesus turned and looked at Peter. I wonder how he looked at him. Did he look like daggers, or did he look with love and compassion upon Jesus? Upon Peter. And then, of course, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, was wonderfully renewed, wasn't he? And he forgot all his failure, but he's now filled with Christ. And he was a blank sheet of paper, and God came and worked through him. Because God wasn't after a perfect person. Amen. Hallelujah. God wasn't after someone who got everything right. Hallelujah. I've told you several times before, and I still don't know where I got this from, but I read somewhere that in the early church, you know, you wouldn't qualify for pastor until you'd had two very public mistakes. You know, you'd flopped, you'd failed publicly twice at least. Then you qualified. Now you can be a pastor. Now you can look after God's people because you know what it's like. God restores you from your failure. And you can shepherd people. So when Jesus, I put Joseph somewhere. Joseph, I was thinking of Joseph, you know, in Potiphar. It wasn't that Joseph did wrong, but it must have felt very shaming for him that everyone turned on him, and Potiphar's wife accused him, and Potiphar, who he'd been very close to, stuck him in jail. You know, I mean, I don't know how he coped with that and how he felt, but it must have felt a bit like a failure. That he allowed it to happen in some way. I don't know, but anyway, he kept the right heart, didn't he? The right attitude, and God enabled him to rise up again. But that's Old Testament. Well, Paul. Goodness me, what a list of failures in his life. The first X years, killing Christians zealously, killing Christians, going out and breaking the doors of churches down, massacring. You know. I mean, my imagination going there, but I imagine it was something like that. And then what did God say to him? I didn't look it up, but I bet he said, "Now go. Now go to so-and-so's house. He'll pray for you. Now go. Now go to the Gentile. Now go to the Gentile. Now go. Out of your depression, out of your self-pity, out of your failure, out of all the stuff you got wrong. Now go. Now you're now you've got me living in you. Now it's a different story. Come on. Now go." And Paul knew he'd been crucified with Christ. That's why he could go. He wasn't covered in guilt and shame. He was free to spend the rest of his life serving the Lord, preaching the gospel, seeing the power of God come through him to the people he ministered to. And yet he didn't qualify, did he? In the worldly terms. We don't qualify in worldly terms. There's only one thing that qualifies us. So if you've got any thoughts about being the best thing since sliced bread in ministry or in church or something, if you've got any thoughts about God using you, drop them. It's about him in you. It's about you allowing him to use you. We don't qualify. Neither you nor I. We've failed so many times. And he pulls down the proud and raises up the humble. He says, "Okay, I've covered your failure. I've covered it. It went to the grave. It's been crucified with Christ." And even if we failed since then, he covers it. As long as we repent of it, it's gone, dealt with, put in the grave. And we don't have to live in the shame of it or guilt of it or memory of it. That's not easy. That's not easy. We have to fight to stay free of our own failures quite a lot. Some more than others. I do. There are certain things I find very difficult thinking about and facing. I do, because I know how unhealthy it is to have anything you choose not to face. So I choose to face it in my own life. But I don't like doing it. And I can only do it with Christ in me, knowing that my sins have been taken away as far from the east from the west. I have been crucified with Christ. So not to fall into self-hate when we get it wrong, mess up, or fail. He's not looking for perfected people. He's looking for men and women who are real, who really get the gospel and choose to walk free in the light of it. Amen. Make the right choice to believe what the Bible actually says. I mean, can it be? Isn't it too good to be true? Isn't it? That someone came and died in our place and took all our sin away and gives us eternal life and doesn't keep blaming us and pointing to us, but keeps filling us with his spirit and empowering us. It's too good to be true. It can't be real. Why don't more people believe it when you go on the evangelism? It just is too good to be. Maybe that's what they think. It's too good to be true. Yeah. Praise God. So, I've given three examples. You can apply to anything in your life which is hindering you from being free, hindering you from ministering freely, hindering you from knowing the fullness of life and the freedom of life that Christ set you free for. And to get there, you simply, may I suggest, there are lots of verses you could go to, but how about this one as a go-to verse? I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live now. Christ is me. Life will I never live by faith. So, just don't, oh, but these feelings are so strong and overwhelming. Well, of course they are. They're your feelings. They are strong and overwhelming. That's what feelings are. Sometimes they're incredibly overwhelming. But then don't need to overcome you. You can overcome even those. The strength and force of those forces at work within you are overcome by, not by you trying to overcome them, but simply by putting your faith in what Christ has already done. Reckoning yourself dead. Don't try and kill yourself, just reckon yourself dead. Say, hallelujah. Doesn't matter if you feel it or not. Hallelujah. I went to the cross. My sins went to the cross. My failures went to the cross. My fears and anxieties went to the cross. Now Christ lives in me. Tis for freedom. Christ set us free. Never again to be weighed down. What's the word it uses? Subjected to a yoke of slavery. Never again to be subjected to a yoke of slavery. Hallelujah. Just shut your eyes. Praise God. I'm just going to take a few minutes. We're not late, it's okay. Take a few minutes. I want to minister this to you. I want the Holy Spirit to minister it to you. Don't just take it as words. I want you to receive it for yourself right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Doesn't matter what you're feeling or thinking. It doesn't matter what's going on in your body. It doesn't matter what's in your emotions. It's the truth and reality of what Christ has done for us. Each one of us. Sometimes we have to keep pushing forward to experience the freedom. But it's always there. If you keep going, it's always there. He'll always bring you into it. And that's where the word breakthrough comes in. You keep going until you break through. You keep believing until you see it. Hallelujah. I'm just going to go mention each of these three areas and ask you to stand if you'd like to just sort of come freshly to the cross at the end of each of them. So I'll just mention each, and then after each one I'll say, okay, stand, and then I'll go to the next one, then go on to the next one. You can stand for all three if you want. You can stand for none of them if you want. It doesn't matter at all between you and God. So the first one is in preaching, ministering, or I suppose any sort of performance thing, or it could be at work, or it could be in the family, or it could be anything really, where you've got to get up and do something, and people are looking at you, and you end up in a cold sweat, and you've got fear of rejection, that fear of failure. Very powerful emotions. Only chemical reactions, but they're there. They're real enough. And to walk free of this will come through just faith, applying our faith. Choosing to believe what the Word of God says about who we are. It doesn't matter whether you instantly get free of those feelings, but you will. As you keep believing and keep applying the truth, they will go. They will go. And as you keep stepping forwards into the God thing by faith, and you can pray in tongues, cry out and worship Him, but do not shrink back. So if you identify with that in any way, shape or form, and today we just want to stand up and say, right, I'm walking free of this stuff. Just stand to your feet, please. Father, thank you for every person standing. Thank you, Lord, that they are entirely accepted by you. They're accepted in the Beloved. And on the cross, you broke every rejection and failure, every spirit of rejection, spirit of failure that comes and attacks us in our lives, tries to overwhelm us. Thank you, Lord, that once we're crucified with you, then we no longer live and we can no longer be rejected or even fail. But Lord, in Christ we are accepted and in Christ we are free. So I declare freedom over you in the name of Jesus. Receive it and choose to walk in it.